that's my motto. Discipline, yeah. Consistency breeds results.
Say it one more time.
Discipline and consistency breeds results.
The name of the game is called results. So it's not 21 days, but it's 90 days.
90 days.
See, we've been told a lie, you all.
21 days can create a new habit.
That's the golden rule.
90 days is better. That's the first goal.
Yeah.
90 days, and now let's get 120 days.
Okay.
You show me 120 days, now we're going for the 365.
If you're not willing to change what you're doing, you're going to remain the same or fall back. I'm going to win. You going to win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning. Hey, 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 what's going on in Courage Nation? You know who this is. This is Dr. D, Dr. Hickman. Come on, it's your pastor, it's your friend. Come on, your next door neighbor. It is your confidant. Come on, it's that guy, your counselor. You know, the one that you always like to talk to. I'm the one that's always going to give you that encouragement. So that's why we call it what? Encourage Nation. So I'm here today to tell you that we got to be what? Strong and courageous. Listen, I don't care what it looks like. You're going to be able to get over anything. I'm trying to tell you, the word of God now is so important to us. We have to grab hold to the word of God. We've got to pray. We've got to meditate. We got to get before God, because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you where to go. It's going to tell you what to do. And you're going to not miss in this season. In 2025, I come to tell you, there's so much more time left. And I'm telling you, I've been telling people, we are preparing for our decade, not just for a year, but we're going to finish strong with our decade. We got 5 more years to go. So this right now is about God shifting and changing us and taking us to new levels. Right now, I hear God saying that he's doing a new thing, and you got to get ready for your new season. Say it with me. We're getting ready for our new season. A new thing is happening, and God is already positioning. So I come to tell you today, we getting ready to get a popping, because who I got in the house? I got Mr. Josh Bailey himself, Mr. Fitness Guru. I'm trying to tell you, Top Chef. I'm trying to tell you, he's that guy right now on social media that's doing amazing things out of Richmond, Virginia. So Encourage Nation, I just want to introduce to you right now, Mr. Josh Bailey. What's up, man?
What's up, man? I appreciate you, Pastor.
Oh, man. I'm trying to tell you, it is an honor to have you in the Encourage Podcast. Man,
pleasure to be here.
Oh, pleasure to be here. See, he's trying to be very humble right now.
They know we go way back.
But we've been knowing each other for years, man. Yeah, yeah. And it's an amazing opportunity and a time to see what God is doing in your life, how he has been training you for a moment of time like this.
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about people who you can respect and see that God has got his hand on them, this guy right here, I watched him go through some times when he didn't feel as confident about what he was doing. Yeah. He would be telling me, hey, at that time, my father was mentoring him in a sense. And then he came to my church, and, you know, and all of those kind of things. And I watched God do some things and turn his whole life around. And he's putting God first. He said one of the things that was a key was about me understanding who God is. I love God. I knew God, but I had to understand the relationship I needed to have with God. And then also being able to forgive yourself. So come on. What is it? True Vine Health and Fitness.
Yeah.
That's what the name of your company is now.
That's the LLC.
That's the name. What do you do? Come on. Tell them what you do.
The crazy part about that, man, you know, that popped up. Because, you know, people don't know, but I saw this on my dad's license plate.
Really?
I had already had True Vine kind of like as a business idea.
Yes, sir.
And then my mom said, let me show you this. It was on my dad's license plate.
Wow. True Vine.
True Vine. And I was like, wow.
Nothing like being connected to the vine.
Yeah.
Come on.
Nothing like being connected. But I feel like I see a destiny for me to continue something that might not have been done or that needs to be done.
Right. And one of the things that, again, when you start talking about believers, right, you start looking at young men like yourself, you know, I'm not even going to say, you know, on a level of a 10, all the way down from the top to the bottom, you start to say, is there any more substance here?
Mm-hmm.
Does he just look good? He's physically fit, but is there anything on the inside? And one of the things I can say is that God is working on the inside of you, how he's moving. And that's what we all want, for God to come in and to work on the inside. I remember in my heaviest of time going to Josh and asking him about eating, how to eat better, how to work out. He's worked with my son, who's also got a couple of scholarships, and we believe in that NFL is in his future. Yeah. But what we're saying is that you have to have that somebody who's willing to have a conversation with you and tell you about yourself.
You gotta be able to accept it.
You gotta be able to accept. Listen, he wanted me to do this and to do that. I was like, I'm not doing this. You are this age and I'm this age. Yeah. I am almost 58. I was like, at that time, I was probably about 40 something. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna do all of that. But if you don't put any work in, you don't get any results.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly.
If you're not willing to change what you're doing, you're gonna remain the same or fall back.
Yep, that's my motto. Discipline, consistency breeds results.
Say it one more time.
Discipline and consistency breeds results.
And at the end of the day, the name of the game is called results.
Right.
What is it that's going to work for you? Everything may not work for you that works for me, but we have to determine those whole things. And so I got some rapid fire questions. You know, my Encourage Nation, they like that, man. They say, what is that? You know, here it is. Yeah, rub your hands. And just so we say, all right, here it is, Josh.
What's cooking?
If you had to work out with somebody in the Bible, who would it be?
Ooh, in the Bible, who would I work out with?
I know who I said you probably say.
We got the strongest, man. We got if I have to work out with somebody, I feel like it would be I love David, man.
David,
he's not the strongest guy, but I like his heart.
Okay, all right.
So I'm looking not at the strength. Uh-huh. I'm looking more about the heart.
Okay.
Because heart is what's going to make you get through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one thing I look at, especially people, like you said, people look at me as a physical. They look at me physically built, but how's the heart?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can have all the physical strength and will and everything, but if you don't got the heart, keep going then.
All right. Okay. I like that. All right. Now I would say, who is the best client you've ever worked with?
I had a few. Recently, I had a guy. The reason I don't always pick quick people because I think people like microwave results. And I think results come when you discipline and consistent, like I said, over a certain amount of time. So I really teach people how to live a healthy lifestyle like you've done, like you've changed. But I had a guy now about 9 months in, lost over 50 pounds. He's coming down soon. We're going to do a body recomp so he can start putting on a little bit of muscle. But I mean, his life has changed.
Oh, wow.
Completely.
And you said microwave. What does that mean? That's a rapid question. Yeah. Michael, what is the microwave fitness that we all want?
The microwave fitness is the short-term goal. That don't last long or don't look good or taste good after a certain amount of time.
So that's what it is.
The microwave.
So I had a microwave mentality for a long time, but I needed to be a convection oven.
Summer coming. You know, I gotta get in shape. Then winter time come, you back to your old self.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of
stuff. Vacation popping up.
So that's why I don't work.
That's why I don't work.
Because you not
willing. That's why you can't enhance the look because you too focus on the quick fix.
And here it is. There is no way I can start a workout without blank. What is it that you need on your workout?
Proper nutrition.
Proper nutrition.
Proper meal before you train.
What is a proper meal before you train? Tell me.
Proper meal is whatever makes you feel good. I ain't giving you exactly what to eat, but whatever makes you feel good is what you should have. Energetic, not sluggish. Make you feel strong, give you endurance. Overall, man, that makes you perform well. Also, make your brain function. All that kind of stuff comes from proper nutrition.
So, when you start saying that, do you have anyone right now that you say is an inspiration to you in the fitness world right now?
Yeah, I like a guy. His name is Jeff Cavalier.
Okay.
He's older. I love that he can put science with exercise.
Okay.
I love that he doesn't only look good, but he knows information.
Okay.
Like, I like teachers.
Right. Okay.
You know, teachers, not just anybody physically can have good genetics and just work out and get good results. But when you can teach other people, when you can help them understand what they're doing, then I feel like I'm more about teaching. That's why we connected. I like teaching.
So when did you know you had this thing in fitness that you said, you know what? I remember, Josh, I'm going to just tell you like this. Listen, and Caritas, you may not know this about me, but when I was actually in elementary school, I thought I was going to be on the Olympic team.
Elementary school?
In elementary. So I thought I was going to be a gymnast.
Okay.
And I said I was going to be a gym teacher, right?
Yeah.
And so I was on the team. I did well. I was all this kind of, I was thin at that time. Mm-hmm. So that's why when I started gaining weight, I didn't know what was happening to me. But anyway, so one of the things I started saying was that I wanted to be in fitness, mm-hmm. right? But then over time, I kept eating quick things. So by the time I got to my senior year, I had picked up some weight and I was like, no, I'm not going to be a gym teacher anymore. Right. And then I went to college and that just changed the whole name of the game, eating quicker and all that stuff. Yeah. And so what I would say to you is now, when did you know you had the fever for fitness and you knew that was it?
My mom would tell you, man, she'll tell you the story like she tell everybody else. My mom, when we were younger, I would be with my mom and grandma a lot. I'd say, mom, you know, when my wife have kids, she gonna be slim.
Yeah.
She gonna go around that track. I think I might have been at least 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
And around that time I started doing karate. Mm. Always into doing more than other people.
Okay.
Discipline was always there.
Discipline.
Discipline was always there.
Yeah.
Growing up, you know, I got inspired by playing basketball. I started seeing, like I started visualizing, like, you know, I saw guys, I'd be like, wow, I want to look like that. Like, yeah. I see the respect. I see, that's what I want to be like. Right. We have, like, you know, we look at basketball on TV, so I want to be like that. And NBA, I actually will put the work in to do it.
Mm.
And I'll do whatever I need to do. If they tell me I need to do that, I'm going to do that.
Right.
If they have what I want.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make sure it's correct. Now, they have to make sure it's correct information.
All right. And so then we're doing it. So when we start to look at things like that, and my whole journey now, when I'm looking at, you know, transitioning where I was and where I am now, do you believe that there's an inside person that says when sometimes, and I'm not talking to anyone in particular, you may be great at the size that you are. I was not happy where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy with my weight. I was mm-hmm. not happy. I believe I wore, and I'm saying happy, meaning the fact that I felt like there was more to me.
Right.
Right. And I felt like God wanted more out of me. And I didn't feel like I was able to reach that at my heaviest weight. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that it became the weight that was keeping me down and mm-hmm. that I felt like I was an eagle that needed to soar.
Yeah.
But I felt like the weight was just keeping me in a box, you know. Mm. Also, I believe weight can have some issue with insecurities.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I felt insecure on a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
And also insecurity. Let me say it correctly. Recognizes insecurity.
Right. And I think you know, as we talk about faith and we talk about the body, God always wants you to protect your temple.
Yeah.
The temple don't mean not just drugs. And,
right.
But it means your weight.
Yeah.
You got to take care of your temple. Right. Yeah. That's the only place you're going to live. That's the place that gave you live for a lifetime.
Right. But you know what? I think a lot of times too, we don't understand what a temple is.
Mm-hmm.
That it's sacred.
Right.
Sacred. And that it should be something that's guarded.
Right.
It should be something that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be something that should not just be accessible.
Mm.
You know, that any and everything can go in a temple.
Right.
That you should have to be able to care for it differently than you do anything else. And I think sometimes for me, I'm talking about me now. I'm not looking at anybody. I don't think I always guarded my temple as sacred.
Right.
You know, I was just allowing anything and doing anything.
Right.
Quick fix.
Right.
I wanted microwave. I wanted pills. I wanted this. I wanted that. Different things of that nature. But I don't think the mindset changed.
I think one of the things that we don't, like, we overlook, because there's so many things that we need to follow in the Bible, but we don't talk about gluttony. Like, we don't talk about overeating. We don't talk about the small stuff because it doesn't seem like it's a big thing.
Right.
But it turns out to be a big thing. The more you don't eat healthy, the more you start having doctor and health issues and have to get medication and stuff like that. I think that's when it turns into, oh, I need to pay attention, like you said, to my temple.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just, you know, living, you know, without doing so much destruction to what seems to be destructive, because we don't always see food as destructive.
Right. So one of the things I ask when I start talking about mental health, you know, that's one of the things that I do, having a doctorate, a real doctorate, you know, in that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm working with mental health as well as going into social work field so that I can become licensed with that as well for diagnosis. And you said, why is mental health so critical when you are dealing with the body, the temple? Wow.
That's even bigger than.
Yeah.
That got to be probably the top.
Mm-hmm.
Could be first or second. I would say mentally, because everybody want to do something, but if they're not mentally capable,
right,
they cannot succeed in what they want to do.
Right.
So if I was to ask you something, that what when people come to you about their mental problem, what is it something that you deal with or hear about the most?
Yeah.
Like, what is something that people struggle with the most?
Yeah, many times people struggle with failure.
Failure.
Insecurity and failure. What we see is that a lot of times people are dealing with post-traumatic syndrome. They are dealing with things that happened prior to who they are. And so they're trying to change their past without dealing with the things that actually dictated the past. You know, sometimes we may have eaten. Okay, my mom, let me give a prime example. She used to go to, I was on welfare. I told you my story of that. And I would go to Murray Steakhouse, and that was a prominent place, again, that low-income families went to. And you could get a lot of bulk meat. It wasn't Costco or Sam's Club. It was different than that on a lower scale. But however, it was not nutritional. And so I was taught to just get things quick,
just
right?
Restaurant.
Put them in there. And then my mom would do some cooking on Sundays, of course. Right. But during the week, I was fending for myself on quick things. And so it started to change the way I valued food, right? It was just grab this, grab that. Don't even worry about the nutritional part of it. Just grab this, grab that. Mm-hmm. Don't even worry about it. Just get you some soda, some chips or something. Just kind of get through. So I did not understand why you needed to do that. So mentally, I was not informed enough to be able to understand it. So when I say traumatic syndrome, I didn't understand fully until I got older as to how I got to 200, 300, 250, and how I got to those places. That I was dealing with things that were past. Also, it could be trauma. When I say that, that's in there too, post-traumatic trauma.
Right.
The things that you saw, the things that you went through, and you made food a comfort.
Wow.
And so mentally, it was shifting me. And so I really was not mentally able to really focus in on my health concern because I was masking it with other things. So what do you think about that? And then I'm going to go to another thing that you and I talked about,
break
addiction.
Break up with the past. They got to be able to break.
You got to break your past.
Mm.
You got to break your past in order to get your future. You got to break your past in order to get your future. And many times we want to take our past into our future. I'm not saying that you're not going to build on those things.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were so great, then they would become that lifestyle.
Right.
right? But many times when we don't do those things that are necessary to declutterize, there it is. Mm. I think that weight can become a part of declutterization.
Wow. I mean, I'm taking this in. I know we're here talking, but I'm taking that in.
I believe that it's almost like my wife and I are going through our things, right? I had clothes that I bought and different things. I've always been into fashion. People think that it just started today. It started at age 6 years old when my mother put me on and had me to, you know, and I was smaller. And mm-hmm. I've always looked at that picture. And that was my past. Mm-hmm. But I've always been trying to get back to that guy at 6 years old who was slim. Had his clothes on.
Got you. Okay.
He was great, I felt, at that time. And I was always trying to get there.
Right.
But then I was so far away from it because I never dealt with why is it you making these decisions with that?
Do you think that your younger self somewhat is it can tell your older self what your passions are early?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I used to cook and work. I did everything I'm doing now, I did when I was 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
7 years old.
Absolutely.
Cooking. I think my first recipe was JJ buttermilk waffles.
JJ buttermilk waffles. I used to have a JJ hat.
Yeah.
My mom bought me the whole little get up where we said, what is that? I can't remember the show, the Good Times.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
And so I had the whole outfit, so I did have a JJ hat.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I would say that also when you talk about mental health and you start talking about health and fitness and eating well and things like that, also it leads to addiction sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you don't deal with your physical or your mental.
Yeah.
And I noticed you talked openly about addiction. Mm-hmm. And you said how you really broke addiction was through, of course, God.
Yeah.
And faith. You already physically had this. Mm-hmm. But mentally, I was doing this.
Yeah.
So talk about that piece and how that also is an issue.
Man, I feel like... one of the ways I was able to break a lot of stuff was start to be open about it, start to talk, start to let those dark closets inside bring light to it.
Right.
And one of the ways to bring light to it is not only reading, praying, worshiping, but also sharing it.
Right.
Not being ashamed and sharing your struggles with other people.
Right.
Like, and people that you trust, you know, not anybody that's going to put you down, shame you, but I was able to, you know, God gave me a spiritual father that helped me understand how generational curses work.
Right.
And it was something that I want my sons to be free of. So things like, you know, it could be porn addictions. It could be lust addictions. It could be anger. It could be a lot of different, you know, things that you've dealt with that, hey, I wasn't around my dad. My dad, I can see my dad. Right. In me, mm-hmm. like when stuff would happen, I can be like, okay, maybe this is where my dad failed at. Mm-hmm. I know I can't do that no more.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And I developed a relationship with God that I don't want to let him down.
Yeah,
I can't stand to. I don't care about money, success. Well, yeah, I want to do those things, but first I got to be secure with God.
Yeah, and one of the things as you were talking, it's just, you know, Holy Spirit is reminding me just some things as I'm listening to him. And I believe that addictions also are untapped healing.
Yeah.
I think it's untapped healing. Mm-hmm. We trade things for other things because we're not healed. Mm-hmm. And so mentally, we're not making right decisions. That could be food, women, pornography, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is. Things that we tend to trade.
When you talk about healing, like let's say somebody listening to this and they want to feel like how do they know that they're hurt from that? Like where's the trigger to find out I'm hurt from this? So that's why my behavior turns out to be this.
Yeah, a lot of times when you start to dealing with hurt, you start to feel like I'm really not well. Like we go to the doctor when we feel like most of the time, if we're not into a place of herbals and things of that nature, because there's a sign there. Mm-hmm. And what do they normally ask you is, where does it hurt?
Right.
And then they ask you, go down your history of who had what to see whether or not if it is a generational thing.
Right.
So when we start to look at hurting or unhealed opportunities, you can sit down and start to jot down One of the best things to know where you're hurting from is to start journaling. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to journal how you feel when you do this, or how you feel when this happens. Mm-hmm. And then how you feel when someone says this to you. A lot of times we don't understand if somebody says certain things to it, it becomes triggers.
Yeah.
So we have to find the triggers in order to get the healing.
I started journaling this year.
Yeah.
A lot more. And you're definitely right. I go back, flip 4 months. Wow. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes a big difference.
And it's really to uncover the things that are not really openly spoken.
Mm-hmm.
It's then when I cathartically start to think through these things. And then sometimes when you look at it, more than likely there is a parent or a relative that it was dealing with the same thing.
Yep. Exactly.
It's generational.
Exactly.
And that's where we have to come into, where we're breaking generational curses, gaps, mm-hmm. or things that are continuously going on. And that's where we start talking about God, faith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How do you get to the next level?
Right.
How do you make these changes? How are these things going to happen? And that, I believe for me, that was one of the things. And I share this is my addiction that I did not have. What I swore it off was that the fact that my dad was drinking. I didn't want to do that. I saw what it did to him. Mm-hmm. But what I did not swear off was gaining weight.
Right.
Even though I knew it was in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it.
Well, that's what you see.
Yeah.
That's how you raise. You don't know any better.
Post-traumatics. And what I started to see was I saw that it was acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I'm not coming at anyone. Whatever your journey is, if you want to be, it is up to you.
Right.
But if you are that person like I was and knew that, hey, this is not where I want to be. I got to make some changes. I got to do some things. And it did not happen overnight.
Well,
people see me now and say, oh my God, you've lost so much weight. I'm saying, do you understand that this has been 40 years of trying, doing, and getting under it, and that, and how, and that, you know, and it's not a cookie cut system
mm-hmm.
that got this particular way.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that drove me into being more of like a healthy style chef, I would see my family, right? Mm-hmm. And my family, majority of them overweight.
Yeah.
Right. We talk about African American, we all eat similar food. And I didn't want to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there are certain things that you do, you can see, you either want to be that or you don't want to be that.
Right.
Whether somebody gives you the guidance, if it's a good thing or mm-hmm. not, you have to, I feel like health is always good, but a lot of things come with, like, for instance, if I was going for fame, it could make me a different type of, it could be a different direction of good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like my admiration to be healthy started first with my family. And then when I went to culinary school, out of my love of food and making it, actually, not just eating it, but I like when people taste the food and be like, wow, that's good. Like, that's how I show my love to them. Right. That's a love language for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that we started to say is that I want to make sure that I'm crystal clear. This is not a shame on heavier people. I'm talking about Derwin
mm-hmm.
and the journey. I am talking to a trainer who help people decide that they want to rediscover who they are mm-hmm. or they want to improve. Not everyone maybe want to be slim.
Right.
You know, you just want to be physically fit, you know, which means that it could be 10 pounds off, right? And I could be in the right range where I am. I don't want to be the smallest, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It determines what it is that you want to.
Exactly.
And if you're satisfied, let me say it again, with where you are, then nothing we say is going to change that, because you're happy, you're good. And I'm not saying that people who are heavy are sick. I'm not saying that, because we have touched on addiction, about thought processes, mental health. So it's a combination. And sometimes we like to take sound bites and we'll run across here and somebody be like, who told you, you know, so this is what you think about everyone. And I don't want anyone thing, because I think the same formula we're talking about now, you can use it throughout life.
Everything.
And it's for anything.
Right. Even I could be fit, but messed up here.
Right.
I could be fit, but messed up here.
Right.
In the heart.
Right. And many times we shut down information, right? And most of the time we shut that down because of the fact that in somewhere in us, it's touching a nerve.
Right.
And it's also undealt with issues or concerns.
You'll be surprised how many fit people are insecure.
Right.
That'll make sense.
Exactly.
You think it'll be opposite.
Right. But exactly.
As fit as I can be, I can still be insecure.
Absolutely. So it does not mean, let me say it again, that just because you lose weight that you will become secure.
Right.
It's finding out who you are on the inside. is finding a relationship for us, it has been God.
Right.
God has filled the insecurities that we've had. He's also allowed us to see where we may be short and where we need to improve. And that's always important when you are working on whatever journey this is. It may be weight for me.
Right.
But it could be love for you.
Yeah.
That you don't love people.
Right.
Right. You were hurt and you didn't want to love people. You stopped caring about who people were. And so now we start doing addictive things to ourselves. And we start doing things to ourselves that do not show love and toward other people.
And then that just means we don't really love ourselves.
Yeah. And what does that, like you said, it reveals we oftentimes don't love ourselves.
Right.
And so when we look, and when I looked at this journey and I started saying again, it's fitness, but it's also loving the self that you are.
Right.
Being able to love who you are.
I started doing a deep dive on love about a few months ago. Just see how many scriptures God talks about love. And I'm just like blown away. You know, I feel like that's probably his number one.
It
command.
Is.
It's love.
Yes.
First, love yourself. Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
He said, love your wife as Christ loved the church, but that's still a big thing.
Yeah.
You're talking about the church. If you think about the church and then love your wife like God, Christ loved the church that you died for.
Yeah.
That went over my head. I mean, how deep does that have to be?
Yeah. And love should be one of the easiest things that we do. It doesn't cost you anything.
Doesn't cost, but you gotta be able to love yourself and have a transformed heart to do that.
But even with love, it requires work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love requires work. Mm-hmm. Love is really a gym on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not only about the gym. It's about a lot of other things.
Yeah, you gotta put the work in order to get
the
results that we're talking about, to get love results.
So if somebody didn't know how to start this journey, loving themselves, healing, what would you tell them to start from?
Yeah. One of the things that I say, it takes meditation, and I mentioned journaling, but it takes having the opportunity to sit with yourself and to be honest with yourself. I think a lot of times people are not honest with themselves and they don't look at themselves. They dictate what everybody else do to them. Or what they allow, and then they use that as a guard.
Who would you allow to tell you about yourself?
Who would I allow?
Who would you allow?
Okay, God first, Holy Spirit next, but anyone that is close to me that I think is not trying to take me down the wrong path. Bishop Robinson, as I'll say it again, has been my spiritual covering, has been a mentor, and who I widely respect.
Mm-hmm. Me too, man. I love
it. It's nothing he can't tell me that I'm like, okay, yes, sir, let me get that together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I'm always trying to make sure that I'm in position. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. But, you know, and I'm saying that from a mentor side, because it can be difficult when you have spouses.
Mm-hmm.
That tell you about yourself, we don't always receive.
So would you think it's accurate if your wife tell you or if your kids tell you?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that they have a right to share, just like we have a right to share with them too. But is it always received? Not all the time.
Right.
But I think that love also can come with some pain because it comes with reality.
Right.
And sometimes we don't want to deal with reality.
Right.
We like to live in a facade. Social media, again, is a facade on a daily basis.
It is.
You don't know what's real and what's not.
Right.
And I think when it comes down to love, sometimes you don't know if people are being real or not, or whether they're doing it just because they want something from you. Of course, I know that you have seen that people want what you have. They don't really want you.
Mm-hmm.
They just want what you have.
Yeah. When it comes to social media, you got to really be careful.
Right.
I think one of the things you guys can take is, you know, be careful about watching other people and comparing yourself to what you don't know.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't know. It looked good, but you don't know.
Yeah. And I really see those things. And so as I, you know, we start these journeys and we go down, we start to ask those questions like, you know, why? This is a really big thing. What is your why? Josh, do you know what your why is now?
I know what my why is. I always felt that I'm called through my love for health, not necessarily the gym, not necessarily just food, but health in general. But that equals out to fitness, like working out and cooking, you know. But my why now, you know, God also started to put it on me. These are just my gifts to reach people for him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, okay. True vine comes from, that's why I always laid it back to true vine. Mm-hmm. You know, where Christ really wants you to be in him. He wants you to have that relationship so that you can bear fruit. Mm-hmm. Right? If you have no relationship, it's all about being in covenant with him.
Yeah.
So anything you have that is material that can fall off and burn is because you're not in Christ. Where Christ is going to bear fruit and it's going to last.
Yeah.
And have peace. You gotta have peace.
Yeah, have peace. And one other thing, I'm going to shift on you here. How do you deal with the distractions of the gym now? They're coming in little or nothing. Mm-hmm. It used to be big shorts. It used to be a little bit of leggings. And now it's probably can fit in a sandwich bag. How do you deal with that?
I think first thing I don't want to do, I just feel like I don't want to disappoint God. I got to that point where I don't want to disappoint him. I also got to the point where I even heard Bishop talk about this. Imagine this is my daughter.
Yeah.
Wow. How am I going to treat that?
Like, that's right.
All right. Yeah. That's my sister in Christ. If I represent Christ and then I go fall off there, she can be like, oh, that's the same guy that was talking about God, but he doing it. I don't want to be that guy.
Double standards.
You got to be prayed up. You got to always have that armor on. And like you said, when you operate out of love, you don't really want to hurt God and to hurt other people because that hurts them too. Mm. Like regardless of if I get what I want, I see this, I have to change my mindset. Mm. I ain't looking at that too long. I'm not going to chase, like let my head go around when somebody walk past me. I'm going, you see what you see. They're beautiful people, but praise God. God made them beautiful. He made everybody unique, but that's not my wife. That's going to send me the wrong way that I'm trying to go.
So what happens if somebody says, I've seen him, but that's just vanity. Mm-hmm. You know, his face is all clear. You know, his hair is all perfect. You know, his workout, all that. So it's just vanity. Hmm. What would you say?
For me?
Yeah.
To beat it.
How do those comments not get to you?
I don't know. I don't, regardless of how I look, I don't put myself higher than other people. I'm probably one of the most humble guys you're going to meet that have some type of success, social media wise, or I hate having an ego. Right. I hate having pride. Okay. Pride brings you down.
Okay.
That's the best way for something. God can't wait till you all the way up here and to bring you down.
Yeah.
Just to show you to be humble. Mm. And put whatever you hide in or whatever you struggle with in front of people's face. So I just feel like for me, I mean, I can be whatever I want. Let that be an attraction that brings God glory. Mm. It's not for me. I don't want the glory. Less of me, more of
thee. Can I work out and eat bad and still get results?
Sometimes.
Huh?
Sometimes.
Sometimes you can do it?
Yeah,
sometimes. And you're going to get results?
You can get results.
And we're going to look like you.
It's balance, right?
Remember, balance.
Portion size.
Okay.
We talk about balance. We're not talking about every day. But one, two times out of the week, I need people to enjoy, reset, mix your body, mix you. All right, I got this. Let's go back to it.
Okay.
And you have something you like. All right, I hold people accountable though.
Okay.
That's what I do. I hold you accountable.
Now you have a new platform, you know, and it's called what? What is your new platform again? True Fit Physique. And you can sign up online.
Yep.
And you have coaching, meal planning,
custom everything. One-on-one time with me.
One-on-one time with you.
I got the seasonings. I got the cookbook. Yeah. I got everything.
You got the seasonings. That's right. Today we cooked a meal.
Yep. We cooked.
For the first time.
Good one.
He got me eat some, medium rare. I was like, oh my God, no.
I don't think it was rare, though.
I am from the country. We need to make sure it is good and cooked.
Right.
But it was well.
It was good.
And it was great. And I enjoyed the opportunity to understand some things different.
Yeah.
And so, Josh, as we have to close this, of course, because, you know, Mr. Josh is always on appointments and always doing things, you know, and so I was blessed to even get him in here.
Just like you.
In Miami, you know, to come in here. We had to meet up in Miami. We couldn't do this in Richmond.
Well, you already know I can't do this with everybody.
You know what I'm saying?
Highly respect for you and, you know, go way back. And I just like wisdom, man. I can't get on anybody that I know not living that life.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I've always tried to be, is consistent.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the things that I've seen with Josh is consistency. Mm-hmm. But then the thing that knits us apart is our love for Christ.
Right.
Being able to be able to do that and to love God and to put him first.
Right.
As to watch him continue to grow both of us. You know, iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
Again, Josh is in his 30s now, right?
34.
Oh, 34. Come on, Jesus. I don't know. What was I doing at 34? But anyway, you know, being almost 58 now, you know, and looking at those things and then watching those things, I'm still learning mm-hmm. and picking up. He showed me some things that you can change and eat and still have results.
Right.
And I think that's very important. So as we look at all of those things, Josh, we want to definitely say Josh Bailey has come in the room. I'm trying to tell you, he came on the Encourage podcast.
Hey, man.
And I'm trying to tell you, this is something that we all can do. And when we talk about young brothers in the field now and where we are, it's important for hygiene. It's mm-hmm. important to care about how you look. It's mm-hmm. important to get your hair cut.
Right.
It's important for you to carry yourself appropriately. It's right. important for you to want to be respected in the neighborhood. It's important for you to be able to want to treat women right. It's important for you to make sure you find a relationship with God. It's important.
You can't do that if you don't have nobody right. leading you by example.
Yeah. And then mental health. We need to make sure that we're always checking our mental health.
Right.
So listen here. Today, I just want to say again, we've got Josh Bailey here in the house, and we thank you right now for True Vine Fitness. We thank you for all the great things that he's doing. If they want to catch you on Instagram, what would they follow you at?
You can find me Josh Bailey or JBailey_JustDoIt.
Yeah.
YouTube, Josh Bailey, and mostly platforms, same thing.
Yeah, mostly platforms there again. You can find him there. He's got great content. He's got great things helping you. So I want to tell you today, make sure that you're following my guy. Listen here, Encourage Nation, this is what? Your doctor, your pastor, your cousin, your brother, your nephew, and it is what? The counselor. It's your confidant. I'm here. What we're going to do, we're going to be strong and courageous. We're going to keep doing this thing because we're setting up decades. And right now, we're going to keep finding some things that we need to improve on. It may be your weight. It might be your attitude. It may be your finances. It may be your relationship. It may be schooling. Whatever that is, let's work on getting better.
Right.
Whatever that may be. Soul search. Don't let your past dictate your future. Greater is on the horizon for you. I'm here to tell you, you can do it. All right. Come on, Encourage Nation. God bless. See you next time.
Around me winning, yeah. Everything around me winning, yeah.